Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, things in New York continue to open and shut and postpone, depending on the weather and that daunting drumbeat from the medical experts. Regarding the latter, Broadway's 41 stages will insist that theatergoers are vaccinated and wear masks in order to attend a performance. Now, Bruce Springsteen is already doing that, and so far he's the only one up. Most of Broadway is looking to be officially open by October. The most exciting new space that has opened in the city is called the Little Island, which was created partly for the performing arts on the Hudson River. Now, the operators of the island will host a free month-long arts festival starting in the middle of this month. It'll feature more than 450 artists and more than 160 performances. There will be dance, music of all kinds, and stand-up comedy. Reservations are required, as they apparently are every day on this new island within an island. Another inspiring announcement came. The New York City Department of Cultural Affairs has awarded $3 million to Pregones, Puerto Rican traveling theater, which supports Latino artists and produces original bilingual plays and musicals. The funding will be used to build a cultural and administrative headquarters in the South Bronx. So things are continuing to rise. Now, I managed to see a live show this past week, my first since returning to New York. The Count of Monte Cristo from the Hudson Classical Theater Company takes place in Riverside Park on steps adjacent to the imposing Soldiers and Sailors Monument. Now, planes tend to fly over on a regular basis, and the production has been affected by rain several times. Sure enough, at my performance, 10 minutes before the vengeful ending, the skies opened up. But at almost 2 hours, I'd been entertained enough. Suzanne Lee did a lovely job adapting and simplifying this Dumas tale. In fact, it would be a good outing for young people to become acquainted with the classic. And yes, it even feels cleverly relevant. Napoleon's supporters are called Bonapartists. Even in the parks, health protocols are strict, by the way. The actors take masks on and off depending how close they get to the audience. I recommend this for a beautiful summer night, at least through August 22nd. What else can we look forward to, either in person or still virtual? Well, I'll be doing the other park this week, as in Central, to see Merry Wives. That's the Public Theater's first one since its long intermission. I look forward to seeing how The Bard translates to Harlem, which is where this version imagines itself to be. Speaking of Harlem and Shakespeare, as part of Lincoln Center's Restart Stages program, it is offering actress and playwright Deborah Ann Byrd's one-woman memoir musical, which is called Becoming Othello. This piece explores her upbringing as a young girl and later a single mom raised in Spanish Harlem. You can get more info on that one, which is in person at Lincoln Center via TodayTix, T-I-X. Now, across town, though, back to the virtual variety, 59 East 59th continues its Plays in Place digital programming with an encore viewing of On Blueberry Hill. That runs from August 3rd to 10th. I believe I saw this one at 59 East in 2019. On Blueberry Hill explores murder, forgiveness, survival, and ultimately love, hopefully not in that order. I want to give a shout out to one that may have earned the most creative award in this challenging time. Scenic designer David Rockwell was part of a theatrical series called Seven Deadly Sins, which was directed by Moises Kaufman. It featured seven 10-minute long plays, each by a different playwright, that explored one of the cardinal sins. You know those guys. Pride, greed, wrath, envy, lust, gluttony, and sloth. Now, where did these play? Well, inside empty store windows in the meatpacking district. It was scheduled to end last week, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's still up, so you might want to check that out. Now, as for theater news, so to speak, you often ask about traveling Broadway shows and when they'll be back on the road. Well, Wicked will be the first tour to resume performances in the United States following the shutdown. The musical will relaunch at the Music Hall at Fair Park in Dallas from August 3rd to September 5th. Meanwhile, across the sea, we keep hearing about shows being postponed due to infected performers. Well, so far so good for the West End revival of Anything Goes, starring Sutton Foster and Robert Lindsay. That's open at London's Barbican Theatre for a 12-week season. Then Sutton Foster will be heading back here to start rehearsals for The Music Man. She will be that famous librarian who hooks up with that famous but lovable melodic con man. Now, I often recommend new books about stage. Well, the latest is Putting It Together, How Stephen Sondheim and I Created Sunday in the Park with George. That's by James Lapine. He directed and wrote the book for that iconic show. Now, here Lapine relates the history of the work through memories, memorabilia, and interviews with more than 50 people. They include Sondheim, of course, but also the original stars, Mandy Patinkin and Bernadette Peters, ensemble members, including the as-yet-unknown Kelsey Grammer and Christine Baranski, producers, designers, and stage managers. And speaking of Mandy Patinkin, I started watching the fifth and newest season of The Good Fight on the Tube. Well, you wonder where all the stage stars have gone? Well, this one has Audrey McDonald, Christine Baranski, Danny Burstein, Wallace Shawn, and Hugh Dancy, just among others. And top-notch work by all, by the way. And for those eager to get into the business of shows, well, you might check out the Essentials site. Now, these are workshops that cover topics ranging from text analysis to branding strategy for artists and more. Sessions run 2 to 3 hours each, with participants being able to meet one-on-one with workshop leaders in select sessions. I recall viewing some essential offerings at the beginning of the pandemic, hearing from professionals offering good advice, feedback, and I was impressed. There's a little bit, you pay for these, but not terribly much. So, anyway, finally, even while there is uncertainty from the medical world, not to mention the changes in the climate, it's good to know that shows are beginning to travel as well as open locally, that audiences are getting out there, and budding artists are not getting discouraged. So, Jill, No Stage Left, may be getting back to our original title, Stage Right or Not.
And I think that we should probably actively turn it into Stage Right or Not as a point, just to make a point. I'm also interested that I was thinking about this the other, I think it was last night, as some people become gutsy about whether they're ever going to go inside again, and other people are going inside, and certain municipalities are just not having any of this and having their local governments just forget it. And I was thinking, well, you know, worst case, we can always relocate Broadway to places where people will go.
Well, that's right.
And it was something that we were talking, that I was banging on about during the last year. All right, there are places where people are going to performances and want them. So if the mountain if Muhammad won't come, then the mountain must go too. And I'm very interested to see from a business standpoint how people handle this, because it is time to get back to business.
That's right. And most of the theaters, like this one in Dallas, I know in Los Angeles, they are preparing for, I know Hamilton's going to the Pantages in L.A., Hadestown is going on the road. I mean, they are planning to go on the road again. And you're right, you know, if they won't come to us, we'll go to them. And first of all, touring has always been the way most people see these kinds of shows, obviously. There are a lot of creative people out there. I recently did a story about a conductor in Los Angeles, Rachel Warby, who runs a company called Musique. Very, very smart. And I said to her, and she does usually these things in big places in LA, and I said, so how did you handle the pandemic? How did you pivot? How many shows did you cancel? She said, I didn't cancel one show. We did them in backyards. We did them in people's driveways. We did them in, I don't know, stadium, you know.
That's right. No, and I think that's fascinating, but it's also in what is truly, from a journalistic standpoint, I'm going to say, fascinating is how uncovered that was, because there were a lot of people doing a lot of things. And,
right.
You know, not in the southern sense, but in the northern sense, bless their hearts. That's a real good approach.
It is. You know, not, I mean, yes, the arts world has pivoted well, and a lot of these actors did other things, like doing TV shows, like The Good Fight. I mean, you'll see them all over. Thank you, Law and Order. But, you know, everybody wants to get back on stage. There's just no doubt about it. And a lot of us want to go inside and watch them on stage.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.